for just a few moments of our time together, I'm not going to keep you long today. I promise. I promise. I promise you that. But I want to share something that the Lord has laid on my heart for this third installment of our new series, the Church Growth Toolkit. And the question today is, the gospel our best shot? Now, I would like to encourage you in your own time, if you can spend some time to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, read the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter today. I'm only going to read a few verses just to establish our context, but I'd like you, it's a really powerful chapter, I'd like you in your spare time, please do read it. But I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 2. And I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible and the Message. And it reads like this. You'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you, this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, when I first came to you to let you in on God's sheer genius, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. Can we say that together? Plain and simple. First, Jesus and who he is. Then, Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. Jesus crucified. Is the gospel our best shot? Father, would you now bless us as we partake of your word? Hide me behind the cross, that your people will see and hear from you now, to encourage, to inspire, and to edify our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if the gospel that we have been boldly declaring throughout the whole course of this service, if the gospel, through trusting in the Word of God, is a tool that we should use and deploy at all times, and the question I'd like to raise today before us is, where is the great harvest? Where is the great revival that many of us have been praying for and many of us have been talking about for a long time? As a little child, I would hear about revival. Something in Pentecostal churches you would hear quite a lot. Revival, revival, revival's coming, revival's coming, revival's coming. And now I'm heading towards 33, and I'm still looking and awaiting this great, great revival that they're talking about. Now, I've heard, as you may have heard, about the great revivals in history, the great moves of God that impacted this nation and our world, where men and women and boys and girls were drawn to a great move of the Holy Spirit that was outpoured. One famous one that we know of was in Azusa Street in the United States of America. In a little church house, they packed it out, and many people came to know Jesus. Great signs and moves of God were evident. Miracles were being performed. We've heard about the great Welsh revival, haven't we? Many lives were impacted. I remember our former national conference used to take place, the Pentecostal Church in Wales, and they would readily talk about the great Welsh revival. But the question that perhaps new Christians may want to ask, even those who are unbelievers in our town, where is this great revival that you talk about? Where is, now talking about Sitting Bourne Baptist Church and churches in our town, where is the influx of new converts? Not just Christians who have left one church to come to another church. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at all. We love that. But where is the new converts that are crashing through the buildings of churches in the UK or filling out parks as in the days of Billy Graham? I mean, if the gospel is our best tool and it is central to our church, then why does recent statistics suggest that despite growth taking place in some Christian denominations, but seemingly for traditional mainline churches, research implies that there is a lack of growth amongst traditional churches, that congregational churches are dwindling down to the point of churches are now having to permanently close the building? A survey released by an evangelical organization in the UK last month found that while around half of the country's population identify themselves as Christian, if there's any research or material, they will tick the box and they say, I'm a Christian. Around half of the country's population do. But only 6% are practicing and active in their faith and who attend a church for at least, here it is, once a month. The attendance decline is one reason why over 2,000 churches have closed during the last decade. And now communities, friends, are grappling with whether or not they should close some of the great historical church buildings around the UK. They are ceasing from operation. And it's almost like a tradesman or a builder who has a van filled with all the right tools to get various jobs done. The necessary drills and hammers and ladders, all the right tools in place. But in order for the builder to earn a decent living and a wage, remuneration for his work or her work, then he or she first needs people that would hire them to do various jobs. They can have the tools in the van. They can buy all the great equipment to be used. But ultimately, they rely on people. Nick Spencer, a senior researcher for a company called Theos, he suggests if you were running a commercial organization, and you had a branch on every single high street in the country, and if numbers began to dwindle with the footfall of those attending those corporations or organizations, if there weren't a great footfall coming through the door, then inevitably you would go bust. And ultimately you would have to close some branches. We saw this over the course of the pandemic, where certain retail outlets, the ones that were so prominent before the pandemic, they now had to close the doors because things have changed. And now businesses and companies are having to adapt to the changes in our society. And church, I want to ask the question today, is the gospel our best shot? Is Jesus Christ really our best tool to offer to the world when seemingly, even within our own Baptist denomination, there is a serious cause for concern about the lack of growth amongst younger generations? The number of churches in the UK fell from 42,000 to 39,800 in a 10-year span, according to a recent report. According to the Church of England, they report that up to 368 churches could be at risk of closure in the next 2 to 5 years. Think about that, church. That is alarming. So is the gospel our best shot? Should we seek new alternatives? Should we adapt the message, water it down to succumb to the changes in our society? Maybe we should endorse a gospel by the former Pentecostal minister and Bishop Carlton Pearson, who transitioned away from repentance through faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins to a new universal doctrine that promotes that hell is just a figment of a gullible imagination, that eternal life will be given to all, regardless of if you trust in Jesus or not. But church, I want to boldly declare to you today, as your servant minister in this church, that God forbid that we should ever succumb to the temptation to reach the masses in Sittingbourne with a watered down or altered version of the gospel. God forbid it. Because despite the current climate of our society, with a plethora of different views and beliefs and practices, some of which are anti-faith and anti-Jesus Christ, but just like Paul, who traveled to Corinth in a society that was plagued with all manner of evil and Greek philosophy and immorality. And I'm sure that even if you were to ask the average Joe in that day in Corinth, do you think a great move of God could take place in Corinth? Corinth that was known for sexual promiscuity. Corinth that was known that even travelers would come to Corinth, travelers who were living moral lives. And research lets us know that they would make their way to Corinth just to take a break from moral living. That's what they would do in Corinth. Yeah, like Las Vegas. They had a great shrine in Corinth. They worshipped false gods in Corinth. It was plagued with all manner of evil that was anti the Christian faith. And I'm sure many in that day would have said, there's no way that the gospel could really take off in Corinth. There's no way that the gospel of Jesus Christ could take up residence in such a society that is so far away from the word of God. But yet still, when Paul made his way to Corinth and he preached the good news of Jesus Christ, and he said in verse 1, when I came to you, Corinth, I weren't coming to you with my great doctorate in education. I weren't trying to win you with great philosophical speech, but I came to you with a very simple message. And the message was Jesus and him crucified. So what is the message for Sittingbourne? Jesus and him crucified. Well, Nathan, that's not going to work anymore. You need to change the method. Society is looking for something else. Can't just go out there and proclaim Jesus. People are not interested in that anymore. They're looking for something else. But as a church, that is the central tool that God has given us to win the lost. The full gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe with all of my heart, church, that if Corinth could experience a great revival and a church could be established in such an environment that was plagued with darkness, then who is to tell us that even now in 2022 that we can't experience a great move of God in this town? So I want to encourage each and every one of you, please don't be discouraged by statistics. Yes, we must read them, and yes, some of them can be very alarming, but we've got to remain focused on what God has equipped and called us to do. To preach the gospel. And to love people. Not just preach it, but we've got to love our community. So finally, this morning, as we come now to your sermon notes, I want to leave you with two challenges from the text. Is the gospel our best tool? I believe it is. Because number one, the gospel tool is transformational. The Christians in Corinth were convicted in their hearts, despite the darkness in their society, to follow Jesus. They accepted the message that Paul presented to them. Now, this is very important. And it leads very nicely onto the second and the final point today. And I told you I was going to be brief. Because we share the gospel, but we also have to recognize that in sharing the transformational message of the gospel message should be spiritually deployed. What do I mean by that? It must be spiritually deployed. Here's what I mean. If we were to go out now and go up to everyone on the high street without any preparation and stop everyone and say, do you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you like to hear about the good news of Christ? That he loves you? That he died for your sins? Would you like to become a Christian to follow Jesus? I can tell you right now what would happen. There would be many who would say, you're just a weirdo. Leave me alone. I don't want to know. You know why that is? Because the society is plagued by spiritual blindness and darkness that the devil uses to blind the hearts and the minds of unbelievers. And as the result of that, church, we can't just approach sharing the gospel just any and any way. We have to be moved by the Holy Spirit, and we have to do some preparation. We have to plead the blood of Jesus to break down the barriers of darkness in our town. We've got to take authority in the name of Jesus over spiritual blindness and wickedness and darkness and evil spirits that will be out there in the town. Because you think the devil's going to be happy if we go out there and share Jesus? He's going to do everything he can to stop us. But we're not supposed to be a coward and scare away from it, but we have authority in Jesus' name. And through the power of the gospel and the authority that God has given us through Jesus, the Bible says even demons tremble at his name. So I want to encourage you all, when you share the gospel, first of all, do some preparation, because the gospel tool must be spiritually deployed. Paul explains that the gospel, it does its best work when the Holy Spirit is given room to move. Because he says, man's wisdom and eloquence, it won't cut it. People are not impressed by your degrees. Some people have so much degrees, they have more degrees than a thermometer. People are not impressed by that anymore. But when the Holy Spirit is evident, oh, it's able to break every chain of darkness. And the light of the gospel is able to impact people's lives. That they can see there is hope and life in Jesus. So the challenge today is, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to take full control in our conversations, as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Finally, let me say this. There are going to be a lot of people who will come to this church. I really am convicted of this. And with that is going to come a plethora of different challenges for us. And the word that the Lord gave me was preparation. Before it happens, we have to prepare ourselves. Because when it happens and God moves, if we're not ready, then we may mess up the harvest. Because we may turn people away by how we react. Because how they come in may be completely different to how we... You know where I'm going. And we might be surprised and shocked and even alarmed that, wow, what's happening here? Whoa, whoa, what's happening here? This is not usual. But we've got to be prepared. Prepare the ground. It's like John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We've got to make some preparations to receive what God wants to do in this town. And even if people come in messed up, broken, going through so many different things in their lives, to the rock bottom in their lives, despair, and they have no hope, but we have to be ready to pick them up and to help them to get on the right path of a new life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. We can't turn them away because they don't look like how we want them to look. We can't turn them away because they sound different. We can't turn them away because they may have different methods. But we've got to love and receive the harvest that God has prepared for his church. If he did it for Corinth, with all of the evil that was going on there, then friends, I'm here to encourage you that he can do it for Sittingbourne. So is the gospel our best shot? Yes. Because as we read earlier, it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Now as we come to a time of prayer, what I would like us to do, spend a few moments in prayer, quietly, reflection, and think about the challenge today to make room for the Holy Spirit to move in our evangelism, to prepare ourselves as a congregation for the harvest that God has in store for the church. Friends, I don't know about you, but I don't just want to talk about revival, I want to experience revival. So Lord, prepare our hearts now. And as we're praying for a few moments, I'm going to invite Anna to come and she's going to sing a song, because we recognize that there are chains that need to be broken, because the devil wants to bind and to bring into captivity this town. We talked about it in our ministers' meeting in the week. There are strongholds that the devil wants to create to stop growth in this area. But Jesus says in John 10 that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life. And there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Please stand up and join me. There is power in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Claim it. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Here in Sitting Bourne, there's an army rising up. What are we gonna do? We're gonna break it. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Yes, God. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every. There's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power. There is power. There's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. I just want to hear you claim it. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. What are we gonna do? To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Claim it. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.